Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 25th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today. And we have three vets today. We have so many vets we can bet. We have Dr. Susan Sekulli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Mechanicville, Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, who's retired, and I don't even know where she is, but she's going to call in. If you have a question about a cat or dog, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Three vets for you, Doctors Dallas, Sekulli, and O'Loughlin, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and here to take your questions, Dr. Susan Sekulli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Mechanicville, Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga, and retired vet, formerly of the Del Mar Animal Hospital, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Dr. Sekulli is a vet who has been specializing in feline care for a long time now. She focuses on the entire cat, addressing behavior and nutrition, providing medical and surgical care. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with, well, she's an expert in Chinese medicine, chiropractic, herbal medicine. Now retired, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin practiced for years at Del Mar Animal Hospital, is a Cornell grad. You have a question? Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Chris Dallas, what's happening?
Hello, Ray. Not much. It's nice to come down to Albany once in a while. Sometimes crossing the Mohawk River is like crossing the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I never come down here.
Really?
So, yeah.
But it's about the same.
I know. But I got to have lunch with my mom's best friend, which was really nice.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, I hadn't seen her since my mom passed. So.
Well, how is the shop? Anything new over at the shop?
No, I'm actually just kind of working through my, I had a kind of a wait list after my mom died. I'd taken a lot of time off and working through the wait list. People were really nice to, you know, kind of wait for me to come back online. And I've had some people coming to shadow me at work, which
is
exciting.
What are they doing when they shadow you?
They're just watching what I do. Two of them want to go to vet school, and I've got a veterinarian coming in who's just interested in holistic medicine.
Doesn't it get annoying to be shadowed?
No, not at all.
I can't stand being shadowed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I like it.
Oh, so you're okay with this?
No, totally. Yeah, it's fun. Because what I do is so absurd and funny and hilarious sometimes.
You're talking to a radio person, please. The stories I could tell. Dr. Susan Sekulli, what's happening at the two locations?
Not a whole lot, other than we, you know, it gets a little quieter when the snow flies. Or the chance of snow, and people don't want to come out in it.
Yeah, that's true.
There is some differences in that.
Do you do telehealth?
I have been starting to do a little more. It's interesting you say that. Yep. We have a couple that recently that the cats are just so aggressive.
Yeah.
That it just makes the most sense. I almost get a better exam when I watch them in their own space than when. So as long as they've established first and we've had one exam, and then the next one I might go, hey, why don't we look at it from afar?
That's good to know, because
really
I actually
is.
Have been trying to find a home, like somebody I know whose cats are very difficult to get into a crate.
Yep.
That's good to know that you're open to that. I would
I
let
am.
Her know about
yeah.
that. Okay.
So, you know, the videos work so well these days that, you're just right there.
That's sort of one of the
great
ancillary benefits of the hideous time that was the pandemic.
Yes,
you know?
We've got these new ideas and these new approaches
that
no one thought of before.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekulli is here, and Dr. Chris Dallas. And then also joining us via the telephone today is a retired vet who's a favorite here, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. We don't even know where she is, but she's on. Hello, how are you, Carrie?
Hey, how are you? I'm good. I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Sure, just fine. Thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, I am down on the Isle of Palms, which is off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, nice.
So nice.
Please tell us it's nice and warm down there.
It could be warmer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's actually been kind of in the 40s. Okay. It actually got into the upper 50s today, so it actually feels a little warm, but it's been windy. So,
wow.
But we've been battling through it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Good for you, yes. This February has been, you know, I go back a long time. I'm from this area.
Yep.
This takes me back to my youth.
It does, yeah. I was thinking about that, too. Like, this is like when we were kids.
Yeah. So let's not do this again. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. And Michelle in Westchester County wrote in much earlier today. Actually, no, she wrote on Tuesday. Is it even this year? Yes. Okay. We adopted an adorable puppy 4 years ago, and we already love her so much. She's about 7 months old and is possibly showing signs of hip dysplasia. Mm. Do you have any special dietary and exercise recommendations that might help her with this possible problem as she grows and develops?
What kind of dog is she? I miss what.
It's an adorable puppy.
Adorable puppy.
Yes.
Great breed. I love those.
And it's a female, right?
Yes, we love her so much. Yes. Michelle in Westchester County. All right, Chris, you go first, and then we'll throw it over to Carrie.
Yeah, because I want to hear what Carrie has to say, too. So, one of the more current recommendations, interestingly, is that we're postponing spaying and neutering so that dogs can maintain full develop full musculature, which may or may not help, depending on what breed she is. I feel like with males, it makes a big difference because they do put on a lot more muscle. And there were some studies that showed that it decreased the risk of joint dysplasias. So that would be one thing. I would love to know if Carrie knows anything specific about diet. But I think looking at rehab now, starting some good, like working
at
with
7 months old,
I would at least consult with a rehab vet at this point and start doing some good exercises. But Carrie, what do you think? What would you recommend for them?
Well, one thought I had is essential fatty acids. Mm-hmm. They're saying that can be beneficial. Mm-hmm. I went to a pain talk not too long before I retired, and they were definitely, orthopedic was recommending that. Mm. There are also joint-specific diets. I know Hills had one. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I guess, did they get the dog x-rayed? Do they know it has hip dysplasia?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Can they call it?
You know,
at this
or is it just one of these puppies with a funky gait?
Yeah,
a lot of laxity in those joints, and then develops into a little more normal hips.
Carrie, first of all, dysplasia.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I also had a friend of mine who thought her dog had hip dysplasia and it had bilateral cruciate tears.
Mm.
Although at 7 months, it's pretty young.
Yeah,
that would be young.
Pretty young, but.
So, Carrie, first of all, dysplasia means that it's looseness, or what does that exactly mean?
Dysplasia just means abnormal growth. Mm-hmm. So usually it just means the joint didn't form normally.
And what will diet, what will a changing diet possibly do for that?
Well, if they're still growing, they have discovered, you know, that dysplasia is part genetics and part diet. So they used to, you know, back in the way before, they would, you know, think large breed dogs, we need to feed them lots and give them extra protein and extra vitamins. And that was the absolute wrong thing to do. So, you know, going easy on the protein so they don't grow so fast and such can help. So, I mean, I don't know if they've still got the dog on a puppy diet. I would get it off puppy diet for sure and get it on an adult diet.
Good point.
Yeah. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin joins us from afar. Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas are here in the studio. It's Pets and Vets. 800-348-2551 is the number. And we'll get to the calls after the break. One more email here, and then we'll go to that break. This one's from Chuck. Dog diagnosis with cold tail. What causes this? And that's from Chuck.
Wait, say that again? Cold tail?
It says cold tail. I don't know. Dog diagnosis with cold tail. You never... I'm getting a look from Dr. Chris Dallas.
Okay, Carrie, are you giving a look?
No. I know. Cold tail is basically they hurt their tail wagging muscles.
Oh, I've never heard it called.
Inflammation of their tail waggers.
Oh.
So it's not really
like
cold.
Like swimmer's tail? Is Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never heard it called
Cold Tail. Some people call it Cold Tail.
Oh, I've never heard it called Cold Tail before. Okay. Oh, that's a tough one. Oh.
So what does that mean? Does it ever get better?
It's usually just anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. And then you don't get your dog excited because then they wag their tail.
Ah. And that's a permanent condition?
No.
No, it'll be all right.
It's like when you have abdominal surgery. Yeah. Don't laugh.
Don't laugh.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I've never heard the term cold tail before.
I wonder where that comes from.
Yeah, do you know where that term comes
from? I think it was because they were hunting dogs that were hunting in the cold water. And they're, you know, Labradors, and they'd be so happy because they were out hunting, and then they'd get the sore tail.
And in my world, it was swimmer's tail, which is, they were in the water.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. Okay. So, anti-inflammatories is what I've heard too. And just don't get them excited because every time they wag their tail, it hurts.
Oh.
I know.
All right. Well, let's take a break on that. 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, Dr. Chris Dallas, and Dr. Susan Zekouli. It's Pets and Vets. Your calls are on the way. John Schofield, The Hangover on Vox Pop, or just Hangover. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Pets and Vets. Ray Graff with you. We're joined by Dr. Susan Zekouli of Just Cats and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, who is just having fun somewhere. She's down south now. The number's 800-348-2551. Let's begin in Kinderhook. And Taylor, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
First time caller. It's very exciting for me.
Welcome.
Thank you. So my cat Frankie sitting here with me. She's 18, and I've had her whole life. She doesn't go outside. Recently, she's been getting a little bit scabby, kind of all over. I notice her scratching a lot. But in general, she doesn't actually seem that irritated. It's probably bothering me more than her. I gave her a bath with cat shampoo. Didn't seem to do anything. I'm wondering if I should consider this a food allergy or a dust allergy or mites, and if I need to like bring her into a vet or if this usually just goes away on its own.
I tell you the first thing that I say to anybody with a skin issue and a cat, treat for fleas first. Even though they never go outside, even though you don't see any, fleas are just the first thing that I see irritating them. And there's really, really safe ones. And kudos to you, 18 years of age. You're awesome.
That's a good run.
That's a great, great job.
She doesn't look a day over 10, I have to say.
That is awesome.
And I wondered about fleas because I had an experience with fleas years and years ago, not with her.
Yeah.
But since I haven't been getting any bites, I doubted that one.
Yeah, no, the fleas like the cats better, so they'll stay on them. And she might have more like a flea allergy where she's just itchy from one flea. So please do that first. There are some safe ones if you have an established veterinarian. I shouldn't say names. But the veterinarian-based ones are, for me, much more effective and very safe for an older cat.
All right, Taylor.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
Jeez, it was your first time. You did great. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Diane and Rensselaer. Diane, you're on. Hello, Diane. Are you there? Hello. Diane, I'm predicting that you have a Labrador who had minor surgery and walked upstairs and passed out. Am I right? Okay. Maybe. Diane walked upstairs and passed out. Let's go to Chatham, New York. David, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, not that great, but go ahead.
I have been feeding a feral cat, and this cat has a huge backside, and I'm wondering if it's pregnant.
Okay, you're dropping out a little bit, David. David, we heard that you have a feral cat that you've been taking care of, and then it had something of a backside, and we didn't catch much. So maybe turn a little bit.
Well, we're wondering if
Yeah,
we're wondering if it's pregnant. And how can we tell if it's pregnant?
Huh.
This time of the year, very, very, very possible. Especially if belly's getting bigger.
Oh, the belly. I see.
The belly,
okay,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So work with local rescue group that does work with feral cats where you could trap her and then determine, you know, if you want to keep the kittens or not. There's lots of ethical questions involving that. But give her, you know, keep feeding her. I think, you know, it's just important to take care of all creatures. And work with a local organization that may give you the best advice.
Okay. We have four cats. Two of them were feral, but we domesticated them.
Perfect.
So there's hope for this one.
There is hope.
We'll
yep.
take care of it.
Yeah, great thanks. Job.
David, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 if you have a pet question today. For Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, Chris Dallas, and Susan Ciculli, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Carrie O'Loughlin, are you're hearing us okay?
Yep, I'm still here.
Are you enjoying yourself, or are you regretting your decision to phone it in?
No, this is fine. I'm very comfy. I got my feet up on a chair. I'm good.
Oh, nice. So,
wait a minute.
So does Susan.
Have, yeah.
You know, Chris has never met you and was looking forward to a face-to-face here, so maybe next month, yeah?
We'll get together at some point.
All right, fair enough.
No commitment on that.
Yeah, retirement's good.
She is jet-setting around.
I know.
The number here is 800-348-2551, and let's go to Kristen in Great Barrington. Kristen, you're on.
Hi there. I've called before, but it was at the end, and I didn't get to give all the info. So I've got two cats. They're brother and sister. They're about three. And they use the two litter boxes that I have. But they also poop on the floor every single day in the same spots. They're not sick because they've been doing it for a long time. Mm. And I would love some support.
Emotional support or logistical?
Just point me in the right direction, please.
And is it near the litter box?
I was just wondering. Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Where is it?
Yeah. It's always near the litter box. And I know you're supposed to have, like, one extra litter box for the number of cats you have. But I can't have three. There's just, like, no more room. Three litter boxes, I mean. And so, you know, like I said, they use the litter boxes. But it's always, like, not immediately outside, but, like, in the vicinity of. And it's like if they do it at night, I'll even like scoop it up and put it in the litter box, and that seems to deter them. But it's been going on for so long now that I fear it's just a habit that I don't, you know, there's no way of changing
it. Have you caught them both doing it? Do you know who's doing it?
You know, that is an excellent question. I think it's both, or it could just be the boy. But they're very sneaky, and it's always overnight.
So the best behavioral identifier is a little bit of shredded crayon, like a red, yellow crayon that you put in one of the cat's food.
Heck? Stop it.
Yep.
That's brilliant. Is
that okay?
Isn't that so cool? Yep. So then you can tell which one is doing it. So
doesn't the wax bind the cat up?
Nope. Just passes right on through.
Just passes through.
Yep.
So we'll get the culprit.
Yep, get the culprit.
I've tried.
Okay,
like,
then you have to call next week. No.
Yeah, right. I'll give you the update. I mean, like I've tried covering the spots where they go, but then they'll just go around. They'll just go somewhere else.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just part of my daily routine.
Well, that stinks. Literally, Kristen. Thank you so much.
It does, literally.
For the call, and we appreciate it. Good luck with the crayons and whatnot. All right, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin's on the phone. I'll read this email, and we'll throw it to Carrie first. This is from Patricia. You ready for this one? Nine-year-old Maine Coon. Our beautiful indoor-only Maine Coon cat, Molly, has a growth on her lip. She's scheduled to have it removed and tested next week. Her blood work came back with a high number for one reading. Can't remember for what. Our vet said it could indicate cancer. We're trying to remain hopeful, but it's difficult. Could it be something benign? I know squamous cell cancers are common in cats, especially in the mouth area. Carrie, you first, and then over to Chris, and then Susan.
Yeah, so when they said that it's a high number that's associated with cancer, it makes me think the calcium was high.
Okay.
Because that can be a cancer indicator, but it can also indicate a bunch of things. So it's not specific. Yeah, and I think without a biopsy, it's a guess. It certainly could be something benign, and the calcium could be up for some other reason.
Right. Yeah.
It could be a squamous cell, and if so, hopefully you cut it out and it's gone. So, yeah, I think they need to just find out what it is.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
And then potentially there are follow-up tests that can be done for the calcium if the calcium's high to determine if it's clinically significant.
Yeah. Have you seen that sort of thing, Susan?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. She's correct. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. And my own assistant, her cat had a high calcium score for a reason we never found out, and she had a short course of Pred, and it disappeared, and she had no cancer. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
there you go.
It can happen,
too. We've been adding chia seed.
Oh.
Her new one for hypercalcemia.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, interesting.
What does the chia do?
Don't ask me those kinds of questions.
It's like a calcium. Is it a fiber binding?
I don't know, because we used to use WD, right?
Yeah,
all the time.
WD-40? That's oil. it's a penetrating oil. Don't do that. First, there's crayons, then there's WD-40. What the heck? All right, let's see. We'll go back to our phones. It's Pets and Vets, 800-348-2551. Roger's in Warwick. Hello, Roger. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, you're on.
Hello?
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Okay. So I've introduced a new cat into my house. I have a household with two cats and a dog, and the two cats have been residents since kittenhood, 12 and 13 years. And the new cat is about 9 years old. The two resident cats are male. The new one is female. It's not going well. It's been about 2.5 months now, and the males I've put out several boxes on different floors, and the males like to sort of go in and pee over the edge of the new cat's box. One of them chases the new cat and corners it under the bed and sort of keeps it there, aggressive behavior. So I thought I did everything right by keeping the new cat isolated at first and introducing her slowly, but it hasn't gone well.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Well, this sounds like one for Dr. Susan Sekula.
It sure does.
How many hours we got?
Yeah, well, I'll just go up the street. And
Does the crayon trick work?
don't I wish.
WD-40 is supposed to be right.
All right, what do you got, Susan?
Yeah. You're doing feel away. You have the feel away diffuser? Are you using that?
The feel away, Roger?
The feel away diffuser.
We just ordered one. It should arrive tomorrow, actually.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. And go back to separation for now, or at least very
supervised visit.
Word. Thank you. Yep. Supervised visits. It's challenging. You got three ages that are challenging to introduce with newness. 9-year-old is that tough. Had she been around other cats?
She gets along fine with the dog. She does seem to be diffident with the other cats. Okay. So maybe she was always a single
person.
Cat.
Yeah. 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 So that may be harder. And then it's maybe providing her own little space. And I say that sometimes because that might be the better choice than trying to integrate them. I joke to many clients that come in and I ask, how are they doing? And they go, they're learning to tolerate each other.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
And that's, right. I guess, the best that you can hope for.
Right.
All right.
Good luck with that.
Fishing would be fine.
Yeah, right.
They don't need to cuddle.
Roger, thanks for the call. Now, Chris Dallas, you do a lot with herbal medicine. Is there anything, feel-away is what, a hormone, right?
Yeah, right.
Is there anything herbally that can mellow out cats?
There's nothing that would be in a Chinese side, but sometimes, there's one product I'm thinking about that is sort of like a generic kind of nervous system calming product. It's got a valerian root base that might calm everybody down, and it's really over the counter too. So like that might even help just chill everybody out. And actually VetraScience even has something too. They're like composure products, and I don't know if that would be something that might help. Those are almost like treats, like just herbal treats that sort of calm everyone down.
Yep.
Maybe the males would benefit, because it sounds like they're
more upset.
It sounds like they're more upset. Yeah. She's kind of hiding to get away.
Yep.
So maybe for the supervised visits, kind of pre-medicating them with like an herbal treat that calms, and because those tend to have like valerian root, I think, and tryptophan and magnesium, like sort of calming the nervous system down.
Yep.
That's a good question. I actually wasn't thinking about that, but that's a great idea. And then doing like treats and playing, and like you're talking about supervised visits.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about catnip? Does that tend to get everybody worked up?
Gets everybody
that's what I was thinking. Like a little too schizoid, right? Okay, yeah.
I think Carrie was about to jump in here. What do you got,
Carrie? Carrie?
Gabapentin, a little gabapentin for everybody.
A little gabapentin deficiency.
I also had an issue in my house. I had a bully cat who was picking on everybody, and I had a very, you know, scared cat. And I actually use some of Jackson Galaxy's herbal remedies. He sells, and he has a whole like bully cat situation. And
I haven't heard of those.
A peacemaker solution that you put in the water dish, and it did help. It got to the point where they could walk past each other wanting
and
to kill each other.
Right, that's what you're trying to work on.
Did you use
eliminate the inappropriate defecation?
Yeah. Did you use the gabapentin at all for your cats, or no?
No, I just did the Jackson Galaxy thing.
Okay. Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
It helped.
So, Sue, if they were to try gabapentin, would you just do like a low dose?
A very low dose.
Like 25 or something?
I think I'm challenged sometimes with gabapentin because then it sort of chills them.
Yeah.
But it's okay temporarily.
I'm thinking
like a
weaning down kind of thing almost. Like, okay, that's a cool idea.
It's Pets and Vets today with Dr. Chris Dallas, Susan Ciculli, and Carrie O'Loughlin. And the number is 800-348-2551. And we'll jump on over to Spencer, Massachusetts. Nancy, you're on. Oh, you got to turn the radio down a little bit, Nancy. We're hearing it.
How about now? Is it okay?
Lovely. Go ahead. You're on.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I have a 3-year-old cat, and we had a problem with fleas. I took a cat tree from a friend, and the cat tree must have had fleas on it because I got fleas.
Oh,
and so they're under control. Well, they've been taken care of now. However, I'm hesitant to put the any topical flea product on her again. This would be the fourth time because I've noticed the hair has separated. And after she gets that that procedure done, she's very lethargic for a few days. Now, I read that there is a pill that can be administered that will contain the very safe ingredients.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm wondering...
Yeah, that's a good alternative. Absolutely.
And how do you get the cat to take the pill?
I think I'll take her to the vet for that.
Oh, okay. No, seriously. I mean, Carrie, how would you do that? How would you force the pill down the cat's throat?
Carefully.
You guys are breaking up all of a sudden. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. You missed out on a good one, and we'll get you for the next one.
Oh, boy.
Nancy, you want to follow up at all?
Well, yes. I'd like a refresher. I have had cats that I could pill. But this one is really feisty.
Mm.
Find some of that churro stuff that they love now or something really, really good and crumble it into the food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe try that.
That churro stuff is interesting.
Oh, I wished I had invented that.
Really?
I would have been, yep.
Well, and then another option, though, for the fleas would be the collar.
It's a resto collar.
That you can put on, and if you don't like the reaction your cat has, you can always take it off. I use the collar for my dog, and I love it.
Yeah.
And it stays on for 9 months, 6 months, or 8 months, or something like that.
Okay.
So,
well, Nancy, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Chris Dallas, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, first time ever with three vets on this program.
Great.
I consider myself blessed. I really do. All right. Tell you what, we'll do one more call and then we'll take a break and then we'll hit the email bag a little bit. Kathleen is in Albany. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi. I'm an older person and No.
My corgi is about 7 or 8, and as I get older, I can't walk him like I used to. We go to the dog park sometimes. But I'm wondering what I can do to keep him calm. Does a corgi ever calm down?
All right. Well, Carrie O'Loughlin. Oh, we lost Carrie again. I'm sorry. Chris, okay. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, corgis, I mean, it just depends on, you know, every dog, individual is different, even within breeds. But you could, if you have the means, you could always, you know, hire somebody to come by once in a while and walk him for you. Do you have a fenced-in yard by any chance?
Pardon me. The call's kind of breaking up.
Do you have a fenced-in yard, Kathleen?
Pardon?
Do you have a fenced-in yard?
No, I don't.
Okay.
What's happened is I've gotten older. Hmm. I board him a lot, which gets a little pricey.
Sure.
And then on the weekends, a friend of mine, we take him to the dog park, and he throws the ball for about an hour, and that seems to help. But is there anything like I can give him to keep him calm? I know they're herding dogs, and
yeah,
they're kind of rambunctious.
Well, what might be more cost effective than boarding him would be to just have you can pay people to come over and walk your dog for you. There are, you know, professional dog walkers, and he might enjoy that. And there are pack walks if he gets along with other dogs. So you could look on Rover.com, and there are, you know, places where you can find people on there to, or, you know, do this professionally. And that might be more cost effective. And it doesn't have to be every day. You know, you can just like have him walked like, you know, maybe a couple times a week to sort of take the edge off.
Rover.com?
Rover.com is like connects pet care providers with people.
Kathleen, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I'm retired and I live on a fixed income, and people go, why don't you just get rid of them?
Oh.
And you know what? I've had them since.
No. How about terrible. A neighborhood kid?
Yeah, I was just going to say that too.
Maybe somebody in the neighborhood that would love to be able to walk them.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Kathleen, and thank you for the call. We're overdue for a break. It's Pets and Vets today. Carrie O'Loughlin, if you're listening, we've got you reconnected. We'll get back to you in a moment. 800-348-2551. Sometimes the old things are the best things. There's Charlie Parker here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets today. A lot of emails here for Carrie O'Loughlin and Sue Sekulli and Dr. Chris Dallas as well. So we'll do some emails and then we'll jump back to the phones. This one is from John in Western Massachusetts. Carrie, can you hear me?
Not really, Ray, unfortunately.
I guess we might have to call this one.
Really breaking up.
I'm so sorry, but maybe we...
Oh!
Yeah, hello?
I can hear you right now if I don't move.
All right, well, why don't I read you the email real quickly here. John in Western Mass writes, 5-year-old, 40-pound trim mixed hound with history of living on the streets. First-class scavenger. Last 6 months or so, urine is darker more than lighter. I put food in water regularly to encourage water consumption. So variability in urine color varies much. I'm concluding darker color urine is normal now. Any thoughts beside collecting urine samples for the vet here? And that's from John in Western Massachusetts. Carrie, you get any of that?
Yeah, I got most of it. I guess the first thing I would say is try and catch some urine and have it checked. Because is it just concentrated or is there something like bilirubin in there that could indicate a problem with the liver or something else going on?
Okay.
So the first thing would be to get his urine checked or get him checked.
Yep. Susan, what's bilirubin or who's bilirubin?
Associated with the bile. When it builds up high, you'll see it in the urine, or the cat or dog will be icteric, yellow, jaundiced.
Okay.
So good points.
Any options beside collecting urine samples to check this out?
Not really. I mean, yeah, you'd have to get the urine, but I mean, if the dog is acting normally and eating normally, then it may just be normal. Yeah.
All right. Cheryl writes in, I think we lost Carrie again. So I think this experiment, she's just in a, She's in a lovely location
with poor phone
service. Poor cell phone service. So, you know, I think she still
happens on the beach.
Yeah. She still wins.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cheryl writes in cat issue with litter box. I have two 12-year-old Norwegian brothers. Since last year, one of them has had some anal gland issues for which we have seen our vet on a regular basis. His stools are a normal size and consistency, but lately there are occasions when he leaves stool just outside the large litter box or in a nearby hallway. He's not straining. On a recent visit, our vet said his anal glands are fine. So, not sure why he does this from time to time. The stools also look normal. Any thoughts?
I went to a behavior lecture years ago where they were talking about inappropriate urination and defecation and the difference between the two. And what the behaviorists were telling us, and I did not know this at the time, was that there are two different diagnoses, and they were saying that inappropriate defecation almost always was associated with previous episodes of painful defecation.
Huh.
I don't know if you've learned the same.
I think that I would probably tend to agree with
Whereas
you.
Whereas urination is usually behavioral, often not always,
sometimes,
but often behavioral.
Yeah.
Whereas inappropriate defecation was usually not behavioral, but more almost like PTSD.
yes.
Related to a previous.
Especially if it has anal gland issues.
Yes, right. Or had it in the past
Or had them. Yep.
And it's almost like even if the problem is no longer occurring, they will almost have this, I associate the litter box with having had a painful pooping situation, and I don't necessarily want to do it there again. I don't know if that's the current thinking, because this was probably a good 10 years ago.
Yeah. I think you could give that as part of this, because especially with him saying the anal glands.
Right.
I start looking for anal glands of food. Like, I have changed food a lot of times and done a fair amount of, wow, look at that. No more anal gland problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I might suggest that first before we get into more of affecting and see if we can change that bowel movement. Even though they look normal, I agree with you. Something's still upsetting this cat's GI tract.
Right.
Cause a problem in there. And then I had somewhere, maybe they, I think I've said this on the show a couple times, is sometimes they don't like the litter box, especially for defecating when they're having that urgency and they just want the floor or the ground. So I've had somewhere you just put an empty litter box by it.
Okay.
And they go in the litter box and try that. I mean, at least it's in the regular space.
Right, right.
So
Well, we'll do one more email and then we'll jump back to the phones. It's Pets and Vets with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, you know, maybe having a swim, I'm not sure. But we'll get to Carrie next time, hopefully. All right, this person's, gosh, it's an Irish name and I don't know if I'm going to say it right. I'm going to just say Sheila, but I'm not sure. The spelling is not what I'm used to. We have a 1.5-year-old female Aussie mix puppy. She's very quirky with her behavior. She seems to favor my husband, and when I hug him or sit next to him, she starts to howl and act out, jumping up and trying to keep us apart. Why should she do this? It's very puzzling, and that's from Sheila.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. You got to get
There's some conditioning going on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That probably
Nip that in the bud. But I'm not even sure how you address that. That's almost worth. I'm wondering if there are other behavioral quirks too, and if that's just a symptom of a bigger problem. It usually is. But I probably would get talk to a.
Maybe Sheila's husband's just a great guy.
I was about to say a therapist, but I meant to say a behavior.
Yes.
Behavior consult. Because it's probably a symptom of another issue that's either, I don't know. I'm not sure what the bigger issue there would be. I'd have to get more information.
Do you both love the behavioral questions a lot?
We're not, I mean, I can't say we're trained to troubleshoot them. I really defer, I'd like to support people who are trained in behavior, and that's where I'll come in with my herbs to support the behavioral modifications that other people give advice
on. The most challenging I have is when the cats are aggressive toward each other, right? Like, I tend to almost immediately refer about from there. But yes, behavior it's a learned response for sure, and we just learn as we go.
Who do you refer to? I mean, do you refer to?
There's not many around anymore.
I know.
Down in New Jersey.
Okay.
But
yeah.
All right. So
Cornell.
Apparently the connection, the problem was not carry.
Oh.
It was our phone system, which Zach is informing me needs to be rebooted. So okay. Pat, Sally, Mary Margaret, Kathleen, Frank. Frank's call looks great. Can we go to... Frank says his cat flops around like a fish. You guys have any ideas? We're going to have to reboot the phone, so I'm going to have to say goodbye to our callers and do emails. But Frank says his cat flops around like a fish. Susan Ciculli, I would pay to hear that question.
Sounds like we're playing in the right ways. Yeah.
So
I think,
what's up with that? Is that okay?
Or is that like a cerebellar hyperplasia?
No, let's go to the extreme easy one. Yeah. I see. Can I put into something, though, that I just recently read or watched a little video on, and they were talking about how you really should play with your cat every night at like late, 7, 8 o'clock at night, for at least 15, 20 minutes. And it has to be prey related. It can't just be, okay, I'm going to pet you and do a little. You drag something along and they got to catch it and they've got to really engage with you. And it is so important for the cat's mental.
Well, that's like when they get the zoomies anyways, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's their natural time frame for that.
Right.
And it's like, wow, I don't know if I've encouraged that enough for all of my clients.
Right.
And
right.
I've been doing it with Walter and he's like more loving. Like
really?
Really?
He's like, so when we were talking about, you know, the older cat that might be, you know, keep waking up at night or whatever, maybe there's something to be said for even doing that as they get older. Like play with them really intensely, connect with them.
Tucker them out.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So all right, let's do an email or two here. It's Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. This is from Eileen in Columbia County. Eileen says, I have two toy poodles, 4 and 8 years old. Surprise, surprise, they bark a lot. One in particular is extremely reactionary and can get on barking jags. Just can't stop. I've tried different calming treats for her, and I do use bark collars when I work at night. I don't believe small dogs can be trained out of barking, or can they? Any suggestions?
I have not seen that successfully done.
Really?
I guess it depends on you really. Yeah, I've not seen that successfully done, especially if they're responding to sound, especially, you know, to every little noise.
Yeah.
There are ways to get them to avoid, you know, you can avoid the barking if they're looking out the window. You know, reduce the number of times that they get stimulated by not letting them look out the window. But if it's to every little noise, I mean, you can't silence the world. And you know, on walks, I think there's a lot of stuff you can do to make your dog less reactive. But even that takes a tremendous amount of work and consistency. It's doable. My dog has become much less reactive than she used to be. Mm-hmm. But it's little dogs they're tough for sure.
I will put a plug in to canine trainers.
Yeah,
in the area.
I was just going to say.
Ones.
I was just going to say that.
That
next,
would
yep.
be what you do. Is
yeah.
work with someone that you
yep.
trust. You've done some research on. You've yep. gotten some good feedback and
yep.
work with them consistently.
I agree.
And I think they can do amazing things.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. And I think, you know, we don't train little dogs enough. And I think a lot of the chaos in their minds, because they haven't been trained enough, it comes out in
right.
that verbalizing.
We train the bigger dogs
because
we have to.
Yeah,
right.
Because we don't want them jumping on us.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But the little dogs
good luck. You can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. 800. Oh, well, we don't really have time for more calls here. Let's see. Who's on the email bag at the moment? I was just texting Carrie saying she can call in if she wants. We've rebooted the phones, but it's too late to. Well, we'll see. This email from Rick regarding pills. And my comment about how do you get the cat to take the pills.
Yeah.
Rick wants to know, would it be possible just to crush them up and mix them in with dinner?
Sure.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
If they'll take it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, sometimes they won't.
That's right, because cats'
yes.
noses are just
amazing.
So sensitive.
Yeah. And herb pills are, you know, large, so that often doesn't work. And those have been a big challenge for me, is
yep.
getting cats to take herbs.
I agree.
How do you do it?
Not many.
Yeah.
Or I get them into a liquid form.
Yeah, you do.
All
okay.
right. Kathy writes in about fleas, and we talked about that.
Yes.
When I had pets, anytime I found fleas on either my dog or cats, besides treating them with the usual medications and or collar, what I found that worked best was this. Have a small bowl of water, few drops of Dawn dish soap in it, comb through the fur, catching some of the fleas, then dip that comb into the water solution, kill those fleas, Do that every day until there are no more fleas. And also, most important, vacuum, vacuum, vacuum.
Uh-huh.
Such a good suggestion. Way to go.
That is, that's a labor of love right there. That's I don't know how many people have the time to do that. But our parasitologist used to say that you had to vacuum twice in a row. So the first time you vacuumed up all the loose eggs or what have you.
Right.
But you had to vacuum again like 20 minutes later because the pupae would hatch and pupate, and then you could vacuum them up.
Again.
I don't know if that's actually true. But
all right. Denise writes in, a lot of behavioral stuff today. Can't get my cat in the carrier. Oh. My 5-year-old cat has become so afraid of the cat carrier that we've missed 4 vet appointments because he runs and hides. Any advice on how to help calm him down? I've tried leaving the carrier on the floor with treats in it, but he never goes in there. But the other cat gobbles up the treats.
Gabapentin.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Ask your vet for gabapentin to give ahead of time. And sometimes give it the night before and the morning of. Mm-hmm. And then back the cat in. Don't push him in.
That I was in the store buying cat litter over the weekend. And got talking to a fella who, strangely enough, had a dog and showed me the picture of the dog. But he said, why don't you get one of those cat things that you put, it's automated and the cat goes inside? And I said, my fear of, you see those? They look like a little dryer and the cat goes in and then they go to do their duty and then the thing just cycles it out. You see these?
Like an automatic litter box kind of thing?
Yeah, they go inside.
Yeah.
And I said, my fear is my cat would not do it and it costs hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The robot. Right. Yes.
Mary Margaret writes in, we rescued a kitten who was hit by a car in front of me on my way to work this past summer. She had a back leg surgically removed when she was just 1 pound. The leg was shattered through the growth plate. I'm curious if there are proactive steps we can do to keep her healthy as she ages. And that's from Mary Margaret.
For me, it would be chiropractic. Yeah, because she's going to be compensating quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So twice a year, chiropractic. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you do chiropractic stuff too, huh?
Yeah, on every patient pretty much, unless it's contraindicated.
Wow.
On every patient.
It's just part of my exam at this point. As I'm examining them, I just feel restrictions and they just get corrected.
That's great. You know, it would scare me. This is just me. I know a lot of people love chiropractors, but it would scare me to go to a chiropractor.
It's very gentle. I feel like we do it differently than human chiropractors. It's really like my fingertips are just kind of, you know, and I'm careful with certain breeds who have crazy spines. So I don't do it as much. Yeah, dachshunds. And a lot of the dogs that have like extra vertebrae and, you know, Frenchies and what have you. And also my older patients, I don't do a lot of high velocity stuff. But it's just this, like, it's almost like if you saw me do it, you wouldn't even know I was doing it.
Mm. Dogs have extra vertebrae?
Oh, some dogs who are poorly bred.
So this is inbreeding thing?
No, it's not even inbreeding. It's just dogs who, they're breeds that are... how shall I say? It's just become part of the breed inadvertently.
So it's like the royal family.
Yes, in a way.
going back to that cat with legs.
Right.
Keep the weight down.
Oh, that's yes. That's
oh,
good.
That's
yeah.
a great idea.
Very good.
Don't let them get overweight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is this turned out to be a strange show with the callers not here and Carrie disappearing.
I know, and you had to deal with technology issues. I'm sorry about that, right?
In the middle of it, you handle it so
you
well.
Do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I know, you look stressed, but you handled it well.
My insides are not nearly so placid. Let me tell you something. I could use a little gabapentin myself. All right, Dr. Susan Ciculli, how do people find Just Cats?
JustCatsVet.com.
All right, and you're in Gilderland and
Mechanicville.
How's the Mechanicville thing working out?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Excellent.
Are you
Love
close
it.
To the Hudson River over there?
Yeah, just got the view. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
very good.
Really nice area.
Cool.
Dr. Chris Dallas, how do we find Ancient Arts?
I'm at ancientartsveterinary.com.
All right. Well, both of you, thanks for being on the show here, and we're just going to leave it there.
Okay.
Everybody who missed out on calling in, we'll do it again next month. And maybe we'll have all 3 vets in the room for the first time ever. It'll be Adventures in Radio. Support comes from The Curated Home, a boutique interior design studio in the Berkshires. Founder and owner Mariana Putas, offering a personalized approach to creating and refreshing living spaces. TheCuratedHome.com for more. And Inquiring Minds Bookstores, New Paltz, Saugerties, proudly independent with books, vinyl, CDs, organic coffee, and teas made with fresh local spring water, in-store shopping, curbside pickup, local delivery, inquiringbooks.com. Thanks again to Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Chris Dallas, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, vacationing right now. Lucky, lucky, lucky. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Sorry we had a couple of technical things late in the show. Zach Malloy, very calm, very placid, very professional over there in the control room. Jim Mountier screened the calls when we had them. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, it's the Science Forum. We'll see you, too.